Hello, welcome to 25 Cents, a video game podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Nick. Each episode, we'll be talking about the games we've tried, other games we keep going back to, and what we think might be great games to check out if you've got kids.
You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on the web at goodstuff.network. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the re-recording of episode 25. It's actually fitting that I was thinking, we didn't comment on it the first time we tried recording this, that this is our 25th episode of the 25 Cent podcast. So maybe that's appropriate that it didn't work. I don't know.
Yeah, we jinxed ourselves through the title. we'll need a new logo now or something.
Yeah. Kyle, we need a new logo. Again.
So what have you and the kids been up to lately? Any big new activities or games?
So Minecraft is back in a big way for whatever reason. I think it's mainly influenced by, again, like my kids tend to be influenced by, which is appropriate, I guess. Nothing wrong with this, but their friends, what they're playing, they want to play along with them, which is great. And I'm sure my kids influence other people's kids on what they're playing at different times too. But anyways, Minecraft came back. We played a challenge of, like, with my kids, of first person to find diamond wins the game, and China just kind of went hardcore into that with a couple of them. We've played about half hour, 45 minutes so far, and haven't found diamond yet. They also randomly, one of their cousins joined a game and they were playing on Xbox. So then that kind of reinvigorated playing with friends and random stuff that can happen there. And then now this morning, my son oldest was Googling when the new Minecraft update is coming out and what's going to change in that. And so it's just funny how it goes away for a long time and then comes back again. And I always love when Minecraft comes back around, because it spurs on a lot of creativity, a lot of building, a lot of collaborative play that doesn't happen. It's not a lot of, there's very little, you know, in your face trash talking going on after a Minecraft game. It's all just like, how can we build this? Oh, we should try this. Or have you done this with the redstone or whatever? And the new things that are in the game each time they come back.
Yeah, my son is definitely very interested in the idea of games where you build things or like, you know, sort of the platformer designer type games like Mario Maker or so forth. We haven't gotten to Minecraft yet. Now, does your youngest play Minecraft with the rest of the family?
Yeah, so 8-year-old, and she started, I want to say, like, even 2 years ago getting into it. Like, definitely, you know, rudimentary, sometimes yelling at the screen when things weren't going in the right spot and stuff. But and that's around like 7, 8-ish is when I started, even with my oldest. I remember playing, I just played with him, he watched for a while, and then kind of like, yeah, grabbed onto it from there. And so, like, I think I've complained on previous episodes, we have it on Xbox, Switch, computer, in multiple licenses on the computer. We've paid for it more licenses than we have kids. But even for myself, it's like I'm really tempted to actually pull it up again on the computer and just mess around with it, because it's just a fun one to relaxingly play.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's something to try introducing soon. I think in the past, found that sort of the classic your vision and your ability gap are very frustrating for my kids. So, like, he has this great imagination for what he wants to make in different programs, and his practice isn't there yet to achieve what he wants. So he ends up getting frustrated or switching back to like pencil and paper for you know, fun doodles and stuff, because that he does have more practice with.
It's like the classic run and jump problem in Mario, where until you know how to, which is why that first level of Super Mario Brothers is so great, because you learn how to run and jump it right in the game. And same thing with Minecraft. I think it's often like just even running and jumping, but in the first person view, and figuring that out and how to do that. And then that kind of like unlocks a whole bunch of other parts of the world. Right. The great thing with Minecraft, not to go too long on Minecraft, of course, we can transition into Switch corner here, is that the Switch version actually is really good. We have that, of course. Mm-hmm. And that one actually plays really well on the handheld. And then, of course, you can hook it up to the TV as well and play. I think you can do multiplayer in there as well, I want to say. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I haven't ever tried that. We definitely do it on the Xbox.
Yeah, I think that's the version I would check out, because I don't think I'm interested in trying to, like, maintain the Mac version, you know. And no. Also, it's not a computer he has direct access to on a regular basis easily. And I understand the iOS version has a lot of limitations that probably wouldn't want to go down that path. But yeah, so speaking of Switch, you've been doing some Zelda of late, and what else?
Actually, last night I couldn't sleep for 3 hours or whatever. And so I randomly pulled up some old Breath of the Wild reviews. I don't know what rabbit trail led me down that. But it's just interesting looking back from 2017 is when the game was released and was being reviewed. And I read a Kotaku, I think that's how you say that, review of the game, in-depth review that kind of reinvigorated even more my excitement about the game. And so I haven't had a chance since I didn't get up and actually go play it at 3 a.m. last night. But so I was tempted actually to just like, yeah, and kind of appreciating, renewed appreciation for the open worldness while still maintaining the structure of the game and being able to level you up, but having the ability to do literally anything in the game, and just the complexity of those two things living in tension in a video game, I think is part of what made Breath of the Wild so great. And so we'll see if and when I get to go actually play a bit more, but that's definitely where I'm at right on the Switch.
Yeah, so we have not picked up that Zelda game or the recent ones, but I did fire up Zelda Link to the Past on the Nintendo Online Super Nintendo emulation, and pretty much just let my son, you know, go to it. And he was surprisingly resilient to how often he was dying in the first dungeon. I think normally I would expect him to get a little more frustrated before him, and you know, I helped him out a few times and tried to help him with the timing of, like, you know, approach and swing sword kind of at the same time. One of the interesting things was finding that he was defaulting to the stick on the Joy-Cons, because that's what he's used to for other Switch games we've played. But the D-pad was actually much easier for him, because he wasn't getting as many, you know, Zelda doesn't actually, that era of Zelda doesn't actually do diagonals. Mm. So if you are tilting the stick diagonally, you're sort of right on the edge between up and left, or say. And so he had some difficulty with that, but just going straight to the D-pad, I think, helped, which makes sense for that era of game. I definitely remember playing it a lot. I never had it, Super Nintendo, but playing the first few levels over and over again at friends' houses before, you know, whatever happened to my save on their system.
Oh, we can delete Nick's save. He's not here.
and there's a lot of, interesting stuff that came out of the Nintendo Direct the other week. I would say about half the stuff in the hour-long session was probably kid-appropriate, just skimming through it really fast. We actually watched it together with me, like, fast-forwarding between games that weren't kid-appropriate. But there was Mario Golf, which looks like some really silly fun. Miitopia, which is, like, your Miis walking around and, like, kind of having Sim-style relationships with each other. That one looks a little weird, but I think for some people, very appealing.
Nintendo always, I'll just interject for 1 second. Yeah. Nintendo seems to always force the Mii thing as, like, and maybe it's bigger elsewhere, and like you said, certain
I think it
really
is.
Get into it, but in North America at least, or at least any circles that I've been in with Nintendo stuff, it's just never taken off in any meaningful way that people want to dive into. But yeah.
Yeah, I suspect there's a cultural or international market aspect that is being missed there. And I don't know enough gamers from around the world to identify the difference.
Blind spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Animal Crossing New Horizons is getting some Mario anniversary items, so you can, like, dress your characters up as Mario in the game. Hades, which I've been playing a ton of, although not as much the last few weeks, is getting a physical edition with, like, a soundtrack and art book, but otherwise the same game. They are doing an HD re-release of Zelda Skyward Sword, which was, if I remember right, it was the Wii game that introduced the extra little motion sensor add-on to get more precise motion, because you were, like, swinging your sword and firing your bow. I never played that one for Wii. I don't know, did you play that, Zelda?
No, I think the Wii U is what we had. So I can't remember which Zelda was for the Wii U, because we never got into Zelda as our family at that point. It was Breath of the Wild is my first Zelda game of all Zeldas. So
yeah, and they're promising improved controls, which makes sense, because obviously the game was originally built around the Wii motion controls, and the Joy-Cons are a little different. There was a teaser for Splatoon 3. I've never played any of the Splatoon games. I gather they are really popular on Switch in Japan, more so than in North America again. But I know a few people who play the online, you know, competitive regularly. There was an odd shot in the teaser that reminded me a lot of this one shot from the middle of the anime film Ghost in the Shell, where like the character's like looking up in the sky from this like Japanese cityscape and a low flying plane goes overhead. It was an odd moment. I'm like, I feel like they were going for something there, but maybe it was just a coincidence. Yeah. But that's not coming until 2022.
Lost tribute, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And we played Splatoon. I want to say one. I think came out for the Wii U, and we played a bit of that. I think we borrowed it from the library. I don't think we ever owned it, and definitely it was a fun one. But the multiplayer limitations, I think, were two people. Maybe I want to say, and maybe that's better now in Splatoon 2. We have never tried it. I think our kids tried it once from the library on the Switch. And there were some sort of multiplayer complications in terms of trying to get everybody involved that my kids, because I think you have to play far enough to unlock multiplayer mode or something like that. And right. They just weren't interested in keeping going. And again, because it's library, so you just move on, I guess. But I had a lot of fun when we played Splatoon 1 in terms of the game mechanics of just like, rather than like killing each other, you're just painting the sort of like capture the flag, capture the area and paint it in color in different unique ways and stuff. And lots of fun with that. But yeah, didn't grab my kids.
And I one last thought on Switch, since it was our midwinter break this last week. We got out and played in the snow, which was nice. But we realized it was our 1 year Switch anniversary, because we had bought it like coincidentally, basically right before the pandemic hit during midwinter break 2020. I would say we've probably played it in some ways a little less than we expected. But I think that's more a function of, you know, well, what games can we play all together, and when do we find time to play in among, you know, school and work and everything? Mm-hmm. As we know, Nintendo really likes to mine their nostalgia and their remakes. And BlizzCon Line was also last week, and Blizzard is kind of doing the same thing with their remakes and classic editions and so forth. So just running through that real quickly, they announced the Blizzard Arcade Collection, which includes some of their pre-Warcraft games, Lost Vikings, Blackthorn, and Rock and Roll Racing. The only one of those I ever played was Blackthorn for Mac. I had gone over to a friend who had a Mac with my zip drive, my SCSI zip drive, nice. And copied a bunch of his games onto a zip disk and was playing them off a zip disk. Because, you know, you can move like, oh, wow, I can fit a whole 15 megabyte game on this disk with room to spare. They are following in the successful footsteps of World of Warcraft Classic, where they just kind of remastered the base game with a few tweaks as opposed to how much the game has changed every expansion over the years. They're doing World of Warcraft Burning Crusade Classic, which was the first expansion that came out. And I remember when that expansion was introduced, and because I was actively playing at the time, that was a huge deal because it like added flying and new area with some really cool content and storyline and new bosses and everything and a new level cap. So that was a big deal. So I know my old guildmates who still play and have also mostly been playing WoW Classic instead of the current expansion, Shadowlands, will definitely be getting into that, I imagine. And there's a new Hearthstone expansion coming, which, you know, I keep dipping my feet into here and there for a quick mobile play, you know, every month for all the different little freebies. But I think the big thing for our overlapping interest is some of the Diablo news. So there's Diablo 2 Resurrected, which is an HD remake. Did you play Diablo 2 when it was out?
Yeah, that was actually the one. I'm sure I played Diablo 1 as well, but Diablo 2 was the one I remember playing a lot of. I think that's the one that added multiplayer online support, right? Yeah, so that's definitely the one. Even like a friend who did not play any video games, all of a sudden I found out he picked it up and we played a bunch of online games together, whatever it was that drew that in. But so I'm interested in this. I know it realistically, I probably won't have much time to play it, given my backlog of other games that I should be playing already. But I'm really intrigued just to play through it again for nostalgia's sake. And then the news that Diablo 4 is coming as well as a new. I had never played Diablo 3. My systems were never up to snuff to actually play it, and I've been tempted to try it. I think it's been on Game Pass maybe or something. I forget where I've seen it on Xbox that I could try it out. But Diablo 4 looks interesting and could be a lot of fun to sort of dive into. I'm not sure if the demonic element will pass the muster in terms of our kids getting into it. I've always been trying to figure out where, just like with Hades, where and how to introduce some of the more RPG games into my kids, who I know will grab onto some of that in some way, and just without also sending them into nightmare land when they go to bed afterwards.
So. Yeah, I mean, my recollection. So I did play Diablo 3 all the way through once as a paladin, I think. So that's the one of the games that I played the most, because I think Diablo 2 came out like right around when I maybe could have gotten it. I think I did later get it from like a used copy or something and played it a little bit. And I remember all the inventory stuff. Or maybe I got it through my Battle.net subscription. I think Diablo 3 I actually got for free because I was a World of Warcraft Visa card holder. Or there was some weird offer across promotion with World of Warcraft where I got it for free. So yeah, I played it through once, and I think I tried one of the other classes briefly, but did not invest a huge amount of time in it. But you know, I as much as I've enjoyed Hades, I'm sure I would enjoy a similar sort of clicky slashy RPG game, you know, going through all the levels again whenever that comes out. I don't know if I would have a platform that supports it. I think I did see that Diablo 2 Resurrected is coming for Switch, which is kind of interesting because that does feel like a platform that's maybe appropriate for that style and era of game.
Yeah, definitely. And somehow looks appropriate, even though it'll be HD remaster, obviously, but looks appropriate on a smaller screen, doesn't feel weird or whatever
in terms of the nostalgia. For being 25 years old or whatever.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap this episode short just because of time constraints here, but we're going to get into Apple Corner and Tabletop Corner. There's been games we've been playing both on a break here, respectively. We've each had breaks, and then also just some fun Apple Arcade games that we've been trying out and things that we'll get into on the next episode. So in the meantime, I want to thank you all for listening. Thanks for subscribing. You can find us on goodstuff.network, and thanks for listening to 25 Cents, our video game podcast. You can find me on Twitter. I'm @Chris.
And you can find me on Twitter and most everywhere else as Ultra Nerd. That's NURD.
And like I said, you can find 25 Cents wherever you listen to podcasts, but be sure to check out our Good Stuff Patreon, patreon.com/goodstuff, and then more podcasts at goodstuff.network. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.